Feel the pulse of the city. Feel the beat of the drum. Feel the bass blow your hair. In Las Vegas, live music delivers much more than sound. It's where music comes alive. With artists like Megan Thee Stallion, Maroon 5, Carrie Underwood, Shania Twain, Babyface, Lionel Richie, and many more. Every show is a playground for your senses. See the full summer lineup at visitlasvegas.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Thanks for listening to the Hit That Line podcast network. You can now download our new app in the iTunes or Google Play Store. Listen anytime and anywhere on your favorite mobile device. Just search Hit That Line now. Subscribe to the Hit That Line podcast network.
This podcast is powered by the pros at Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric. Arkansas owned, Arkansas operated. GoPascal.com.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
I'm always high on the hogs, guys. I'm not high right now, but my day is young.
My odometer's way up there. I'm that 2018 that's already got 130,000 miles on it.
The Razorbacks rush across the field to get that boot.
Tommy, Chuck, and Ty, you guys are the gold standards of sports talk radio.
He bleeds Arkansas.
Ty's got good hair.
Well, one team is decidedly better than the other, and that's why they swept. Most of the time, though, when good teams play good teams, you get a split. So when I heard they were going to play a doubleheader Saturday, my thought going into Friday night was this is the rubber game of the series. even though it's probably going to be decided in the final game tomorrow, when you get right down to it, whoever wins Friday night's probably going to win the series.
You know, I was looking at some of the SEC scores from this weekend. Kentucky's atop the SEC East. Arkansas's atop the SEC West. And just a reminder, this will be the final divisional race in the Southeastern Conference, which I want to get into a little later on the show. But one of the things that stood out to me, Chuck, Texas A&M scored 37 runs over the course in 3 days in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. I mean, that is a team you close out your season with. They're one game behind you in the standings right now. It sure looks like, based on where both teams are trending, that series is going to decide who wins the final SEC West ever in college baseball here.
Well, it kind of looks like it. I don't think anybody's going to be nostalgic over the fact the Western Division's going away. I don't get that sense from anybody at all. You know, every weekend's different. That's the thing that I would say, whether you're good, bad, in between, every weekend's different. I think it's especially true in baseball, but you can say it about all the sports. You lay your money down this weekend based on what happened next weekend, you're probably going to lose a good portion of it. That's just how it works. And I'm sure when we get to that weekend, if there's a championship on the line, it's going to be hard fought. Both those teams right now are looking like national seeds. And, you know, A&M's going to be tough to beat down there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not just talking about from a Razorback perspective. I mean when we get into the NCAA tournament. It's going to be 90, 95 degrees down there every day. You're going to have teams from if they get to a super, you're probably going to have somebody, you know, that's not quite as accustomed to that as they are. I think they're going to be a tough out when we get to the tournament, and that'll be a tough series. But so will Kentucky, and Florida will be tougher than you think.
Yeah, and you still have, I think with Florida coming in here 8-10, you just kind of expect Arkansas to be able to win that series, but their backs are quote-unquote against the wall, and they're doing their best. They're going to come in here with everything they got to try and get an SEC Road Series win this weekend.
8-10 teams in the SEC are good teams.
Yep.
You know, they're good teams, and those teams end up in Omaha. You know, teams that finish right around 500 in the SEC, maybe a game or two over, sometimes even a game under, those teams will make a run in the postseason. Florida may be one of them.
You know, it's looking at the standings. It has been interesting to watch the SEC teams that have won national championships the last few years. Mississippi State, for example, has not made postseason since they went and won the whole thing back in 2021. Ole Miss followed up their national championship series last year with a bad season. LSU right now is sitting at 5-13 in the league. So I don't know what the deal is, Chuck, but for whatever reason, the SEC teams that have won the national championship the year before have not fared well. I know LSU still has.
Well, that's recent history. That's recent history. You can go back to South Carolina and LSU and even Florida. You know, when Florida was making runs to mm-hmm. Omaha, those teams were good the next year. This is the exception rather than the rule on that.
It's been odd. Well, again, we mentioned a few names already this morning. I think one of the guys that hasn't gotten enough credit for what he's been for this team this season, we've talked about Hagan Smith. Of course, we're always going to mention Dave Van Horn as the architect of this team. But I want to talk about the freshman from Aptos, California, and Gabe Gackle, who was a huge part of Friday night's win. Here's Dave after the game on what he's been for the team this year.
Brought in Gabe Gackle, and he put out the fire, got through that next, you know, that inning with no damage. Gave us 2 2/3, struck out, I don't know, 5 or 6 hitters, and just pitched great through 42 pitches. He comes into the game with a little bit of calmness to him, and I think he's probably calm because he knows how good his stuff is, and he trusts it, and he just attacks. You know, they got to figure out how to hit a pitch that's 96, 97, then he dumps a slider in there. Got a really good changeup that lefties have a lot of trouble with. He's confident. He's good.
Here's the stat on him, Chuck. He's inherited 17 base runners this year and has only allowed one base runner, which is just is startling to me. And Dave got asked about that in the press conference, and he wasn't really that miffed or like jolted by that. And just kind of what he's been accustomed to, it seems like, this season. You don't see that often from a true freshman.
Well, he's really mature out there, that's for sure. And he's not scared. And that's maybe the most important thing for a freshman. They've got 2 or 3 guys on their team, and all teams do. You've got freshmen who, well, they got really good stuff, but they're just still kind of afraid. And you see that a lot in college baseball, but he's not. And here's the thing, though. You were talking about Dave's reaction to all that. See, I think that's the key to the whole thing, not just with this kid, but with all of them. Every team takes on the personality of their head coach. Now, sometimes that can be very good. Sometimes it might not be so good. But in this case, Dave's the perfect baseball coach in that he's not an emotional guy. And he was a little more emotional, I'm sure, when he was younger. We all were. But, you know, I think he's really in a good spot as a head coach. And I think his kids feed off that. And good performances, it's not that they're necessarily expected or taken for granted or anything like that. They're good players. It's a good program. It's a good team. Go do what you do. You know, just go do it. And that's what they're doing right now. And so yeah, everything you said about Gabe Gackle's right. And in certain situations, he would be probably celebrated more than he's been. But on a really good team, he's a really good part. And there are lots of really good parts on that team. But he's he is one of those kids that comes in and right off the bat, he's just ready to go. And, you know, I can recall when LSU really had it going and South Carolina really had it going. They'd bring freshmen in, pitchers, mm-hmm. and they were great. We'd bring freshman pitchers in. They were scared to death. I mean, there was just that difference in, you know, where you were as a program. And I don't mean that in a critical way at all. It's just the truth. And Arkansas is getting those kids right now. And, you know, you take a kid that has ability and who's not afraid, and then you put him in a college atmosphere with all the tools that they have at their disposal to get better. That guy's got a chance to really be something special. Now, you bring a kid in who's got all kinds of great stuff and he's scared to death, well, you're going to have to get the scared out of him before you can really get into all the other stuff. And so Arkansas is getting players like that, not just Gackle, not just pitchers, but players all over the field who are they look at games as opportunities to show what they got. And I like that.
And I mentioned where he's from, Aptos, California. Arkansas's had some success getting some guys out of California. And the one that always stands out to me is Dominique Fletcher. He's recent, but there's a handful of others. I mean, you really are.
Oh, James McCann was from California. Look, California kids litter SEC baseball rosters and have for a long time. Because the baseball, the high school baseball, the amateur baseball, the travel baseball, it's great out there. And then they go to college and about 12 people show up to watch them play. And it's a lot more fun in the SEC.
All right, so we got a question about John Calipari's whereabouts. We might as well fire up the Cal Tracker. All right, so according to 24/7 Sports, you're going to have Carter Knox in Fayetteville today, one of the former Kentucky commits, one of the guys that you are thinking possibly could end up as an Arkansas Razorback. Some other news, Adu Thierro has narrowed down his list to 5 schools, Arkansas being one of them, along with North Carolina, Pittsburgh, Indiana, and then a possible return to Lexington, too. You also had this weekend, I know some people were wondering about Jeremy Roach, the outstanding point guard for Duke, what he was going to do. He has chosen Baylor as his next school. He's committed to Scott Drew and the Baylor Bears. So some names. One is decided, Chuck. One's going to be in attendance, and the other guy's got Arkansas in his top 5, according to Jeff Borzillo. But we saw Cal and Big Z at Bogle Park this weekend. It's still, I'd say, the most prevalent topic in Razorback sports is who this team's going to add to its basketball roster.
Well, and it's still going to be a little bit, although I think there will probably be some more developments this week. You know, I would be frankly surprised if there's not, but I don't know that it's going to be a full roster by the end of the week. We can see the kind of players he's on. You know, these aren't project guys. These are not these are the best in the country. Therefore, they have lots of options. And I think that, you know, in the NIL era, in the players first era, it's not going to be a situation, even with someone like John Calipari, where everyone just automatically says, oh, I'm going with Cal. I'd love to go with Cal, but we got to get the deal right. You know, it's my preference. It's my preference to be with you, but we got to get the deal right. So all that comes into play now, whereas before, 5 years ago, hey, Cal's going to Arkansas, or Cal's going to Kentucky, or Cal's going to Memphis. Well, I'm going with him. No questions asked. Now it's a little bit different deal. But from what I understand, we're doing fine.
And, Chuck, I believe he said this on stage with you. Correct me if I'm wrong, but him talking when him and Frank Broyles initially spoke the first time about potentially being Arkansas's head coach, and he said, well, I can't leave these players because then – it was not as easy to transfer, but now it's like they might. He said, like, they might not even be here next year. So I feel like coaches, I think there's potential. I don't know if I'm 100% of the idea that this is going to happen, but I definitely think there's potential. You could even see more coaching movement because of there's more player movement nowadays, and they feel like, well, my roster's not going to look anywhere like it is this year. Why would I stay if I think there's a better opportunity elsewhere?
Well, I think you've always had that, though. I don't. You know, the landscape changes, but I don't think it's really all that much different in terms of that. You know, one of the things that he did not say in so many words is now I can leave and take my old team with me.
That's a good point.
You know, I mean, that's the flip side of it now. On one hand, you can say, well, now the kids can leave and go wherever they want to go. But on the other hand, I can bring them with me, too, if I think they're really good.
And I think with the exception of Bradshaw, the 7-foot-1 guy who had a pretty good second game against the Razorbacks, I don't think any of his former players have committed elsewhere. I think they're still deciding. And I know that some people have pointed to, well, they're just waiting on their last NIL check to cash. Others have said, well, they're just mulling over the idea. I'm curious to see likes of, like I mentioned, Thierro, DJ Wagner, and then some of the other commits like Knox, who's going to be, what their whole rationale and reasoning. You spoke to the NIL aspect, which I think is a huge part of it. But I am surprised that we haven't seen more movement or more commits to this point.
Well, you don't know what their current NIL deals are.
Mm-hmm.
Just like you don't know my contract, I don't know your contract. People's contracts are not other people's business. And so we don't know what's in that NIL deal that each player has. Some of those deals may call for them to be right where they are for a little while longer. And you kind of touched on that, you know, a couple of seconds ago. And I think some of that probably does come into play.
If you want to jump with us on the McLarty Daniel Hotline, do so at 877-377-6963. That's where Brian in Ozark is this morning. Brian, what's going on, man?
Morning. How you doing?
Good, man.
Good. I want to bring up something that I've kind of been saying for years about, you know, now that Arkansas has a quality basketball coach in Calipari. And this is for all sports in Arkansas, really. You know, we've heard for years and years and years, people have made excuses about how Arkansas couldn't recruit against top schools because Arkansas is small and there wasn't much to do in Fayetteville and all this other stuff. You know, my argument on that was, you know, if you bring in a quality coach like you did with Calipari, and the kids will come to Fayetteville because, you know, these kids, they're not coming to play for Arkansas. They're coming to play for Calipari. And if Calipari was at UAPB or UCA, they would go there as well. They're going to get experience for the next level. They could care less about playing for the University of Arkansas, you know. And it would be the same way in football. You know, you brought somebody like, if you brought in a coach like Kirby Smart, you would get the best of the best instead of what you've had the last 35 years of these kids that can't win the SEC. You know?
Well, now, Brian, hang on just a second. I mean, we all know you don't like Arkansas. And, I mean, we all know that you don't care for the Razorbacks. And you're looking for bones to pick. And I get all that. But you're right in the sense that if you have a Hall of Fame coach like this, players want to come play for him. But I think you're ignoring very conveniently some things that you know are different about football and basketball and baseball. You know this. You're not an uneducated fan. You're just looking to get on people.
Trying to bristle at
him. Hey, he's trying to stir stuff up. I know what he's doing. I hear his other calls. I'm not going to, you know, shout him down the way some of those other guys do, but I am going to say that I read your ulterior motive, Brian. You're as Carmelo says to Eli, you think you're slick. You're not slick.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, and sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwood1, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwood1 now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/westwood1.
The Arlington Resort Hotel and Spa in downtown Hot Springs, Arkansas is the perfect destination for your next getaway. Join them for a romantic Valentine's Day getaway with a special dinner or romance package. Or if you're coming to town for live racing, they've got room for you every weekend, including Martin Luther King Day weekend and President's Day weekend. Experience all the luxury and hospitality of a Grand Southern Hotel. The accommodations are sure to please everyone. Visit arlingtonhotel.com for more details. That's arlingtonhotel.com.
Call or text the McLarty Daniel Hotline at 877-377-6963. McLarty Daniel, a vehicle for every lifestyle.
When you're looking for a new car, you want to shop for a vehicle you love with an organization you trust. You've probably heard that McLarty Daniel means making deals, but what I'm inspired by the most is that McLarty Daniel means making a difference in our community. When you buy a vehicle with McLarty Daniel, you reinvest right here in the community, in our schools, in our little leagues, in our food banks, and our people. So you're not just making a purchase, you're making a difference too. Come see us at any of our six locations in Northwest Arkansas.
BetOnline is the number one source for all your sports betting this season and every season. You'll find the latest odds, team matchup info, player news, and game trends all at BetOnline. BetOnline features live betting, free contests, and live scores for almost any sport or game imaginable. The fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite leagues and events. Go to betonline.ag to join and receive your 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Make sure you use the promo code BELIEVE to receive your rewards. BetOnline, where the game starts.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
One thing we failed to mention when talking about Bobby Portis and the Milwaukee Bucks, Chuck, is that he's a finalist for the Sixth Man of the Year, along with Malik Monk, who we all know, Northwest Arkansas. I was actually talking with his brother Marcus yesterday, and then former LSU Tiger, Naz Reid. So I don't think that we fully understand how good of a season Bobby Portis is having. And you mentioned the emergence of him, particularly in Giannis Antetokounmpo's absence due to injury. But Bobby's just had a whale of a season, man.
Well, he's developed into a very good professional basketball player. He's been a great sixth man for two or three years now. Those who have followed Bobby's life, his career, talk about, the gangly eighth grader, with big bug eyes, that looked anything like a future NBA star.
Crazy
eyes. And I can tell you now, watching him, his game's improved tenfold since he was at Arkansas. And you look at every level that Bobby's progressed to along the way, there's been vast improvement at every one of them. There were questions when he got to every level of could he stick? I know as good as Portis had become as a high schooler, there were still some questions. Can this gangly kid really be a big-time Division I basketball player? Well, he became one. And then he goes to the NBA, and he's skinny as a rail. And you look at him, and you go, I don't know, man. I mean, he's going to get pushed around. Here we are 6-7 years later, and, he's putting up double-doubles in playoff games. So, really, Bobby is the work that he's put in. And, I'll tell you, I watched the Thunder last night, and Jalen Williams has spent some time in the weight room now. Yep. He looks like a player. And, part of it is just these guys filling out. And for that matter, Gilgeous Alexander, is that how you pronounce it?
Gilgeous Alexander.
He's a great player. Kentucky, very heralded. But he was not, he wasn't the college basketball player of the year. Everybody develops at a different level. And, that's one thing. And I know it kind of frustrated Kentucky fans, to be real honest about it. We're going to have to adjust maybe the way we think about things. Some of these guys he's had, and SGA is a prime example. They don't play their best basketball when they're in Kentucky or at Arkansas or wherever they are. Portis didn't play his best basketball at Arkansas. You just enjoy them while you got them.
Yeah, and you take it every chance you can get. And speaking of John Calipari, we had attendance in Bogle Park this weekend. I don't know if you caught the video. And actually, it was a star-studded weekend. Arkansas.
Saw Big Z was there.
He did, yeah. And he ended up doing his first hog call, which I thought was pretty cool.
Welcome the newest member of the Rupert Mac men's basketball team to Fayetteville.
I thought it was a solid first-time hog call, Chuck. I thought he did an admirable job in front of all of those fans. They had nearly 4,000 fans on Saturday night, which was pretty special for Courtney Dival. They didn't play great Saturday, but ended up getting the series victory. First time ever back-to-back series victories against Alabama in the history since Arkansas joined the conference.
Yep. We're talking about Big Z or softball?
Softball. Sorry. But back to Big Z. Thought he did a good job first time out. In his first talk call in front of all those people.
Oh, I thought he seems to me to be a kid that just really enjoys himself. You know, everything that I've seen so far, he's a kid having fun. And you need kids like that, whether they're good or not. It certainly helps that he's 7'2 and is going to play in the NBA. But you need personalities like that. The game needs to be fun. And if you look at the guys that really make their mark on the game, they've got, you know, they're characters sometimes, and they've got personality to them, and it endears them to fans, and it ensures longevity sometimes, and he just seems to be that kind of guy to me.
And it's not always easy as a bigger guy to be like that. I mean, some guys are just tall, clumsy, and awkward, not just in the walking, but just in terms of being in the public eye. Shaquille O'Neal was the opposite of that. I don't know if anyone will be able to touch his persona, but it does seem like that Big Z has some Shaq-like qualities in just terms of his personality.
He does, and, you know, I think he's comfortable in his own skin, which is exactly what you hope for someone who's 19 or 20 years old. Sometimes it's not all that common if you want to get right down to it. But, you know, I am really anxious to watch him play. I watched him a good bit at Kentucky because it's a broader subject and we don't have time to get into it today. But the European players are so much, particularly their big men, are so much more fundamentally sound than the players that are coming through our setup in America. I think it's a real hard reality for us right now. These big men have ball skills, and Big Z's one of them. There's nothing clumsy about him. He can dribble, pass, and shoot. And all these big guys that come from Europe can do that. And I was reading an article about this, and I'm not going to, you know, stray off into it too much, but, you know, it did point out that, you know, there are some stark differences right now in the way we play the game with our youth in the United States and opposed to the way they play the game abroad. And fundamentally, we're not quite what we once were.
Yeah, it's practice versus games. You've got all these AAU teams that are just playing games and they're practicing a lot of times. You think about Nikola Jokic, who's really taken over the NBA the last few years, and you look at him and it's like, how can he dominate the way he does? And then you watch him play. The fundamental aspect that you're talking about, he is as fluid as...
They can pass.
Yeah.
They can dribble, pass, and shoot. Mm-hmm. They can do it all.
Yeah.
And now there are lots of things that come with being a 7-footer that guys who 6'1 can't do. But if you can dribble, pass, and shoot like a 6'1 guy and you're 7 feet tall, you're going to run the game.
You're hoping that Arkansas can get some guys like that. There's not a ton of them across college basketball, but looking at who Arkansas potentially could get, the popular name with Arkansas fans I'm seeing now is Jonell Davis. He's the former Florida Atlantic point guard that has entered his name in the transfer portal. They had that big 7'1" guy that I think is going to end up following Dusty May to Michigan. But it is funny, Chuck.
One of them went to Florida, I think, didn't he? One of them's going to be a Gator. I thought I saw.
Okay.
I don't keep up with that as much as some.
Yeah. I just, any time that I pop in, I mentioned earlier in the show, Jeremy Roach, the Duke point guard, has committed to the Baylor Bears. Carter Knox is expected to take a visit to Fayetteville today. But anytime I see a great college basketball player, Chuck, it sure seems like Arkansas fans assume that he would consider Fayetteville as his next destination just because
of
Cal.
Well, based on what we read, a good many of them are. You know, it doesn't mean you're going to get them all, but it certainly means, you know, based on what I read, and I'm kind of like everybody else, I just read what pops up, and sounds like, you know, Arkansas is on a lot of people's lists.
And I wanted to – oh, sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
I wanted to – there's so many conflicting reports out there when it comes to NIL, what players are getting, what they actually have. I wonder – and I don't know if we'll ever get a solid answer, but I wonder how much Arkansas has now stockpiled after a week or so has gone by, or I guess 2 weeks now has gone by. And this whole idea that there may be the highest NIL fund in all of college basketball, I just don't know if that's true. But based on reports out there, when a player of high value enters the portal and is considering Arkansas, it sure seems like that there might be some truth to that, or at least some truth maybe in phrases and reports out there. We don't know, unfortunately.
Well, yeah, I think we know. I mean, I think we do know. It goes back to what we talked about last week. This is, at some point, you have to use a little simple arithmetic. I mean, are these five stars considering Arkansas without NIL money? Well, of course not. If it was, there's always going to be NIL money on this. So yes, there's money there. Now, I think sometimes people have this idea that, well, we're just going to go get it out of the NIL account. Some of this, I'm sure, just to put it in everyday terms, is pay as you go. Mm-hmm. It's going to take us this to get him. I got to go round up this money. Now, you may have an assurance that I'll have it for you, but I don't think it's a question of, all right, we've collected X million dollars and it goes in the account and you can go raid it whenever you want. I suspect that there are going to be situations that come up, not just here, but lots of places, and happens all with all sorts of big time programs. Is, you know, we've generally tried to keep our NIL expenditures within this, but as the market changes, it's going to take a little bit more. And we got a chance to get this guy, and it's going to take this amount. You know, if you've got private assurances that the money will be there, you know, that's where the money comes from. But the idea, as you were talking about, you know, how much is in the pot now, I don't think it's a situation like that. Hey, don't pay for a summer or a spring, I should say, AC tune-up. You know, this past weekend's really been a prime example of what an Arkansas spring's like. I mean, Friday it's like 80, where we're running the AC. By Monday morning it's in the 30s when we have the heater on. Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric. Don't pay for somebody else to come out and make sure your AC is going to be okay. If you're a Pascal member, as I call it, part of their plant protection program, all that's included. And the best thing about this program is it gives you peace of mind all year long, regardless of the season, whether it's your AC, whether it's your heater. They do the preventative maintenance. They do the checkups. They do the tune-ups. So the big problems don't occur. And, you know, you think about it right now, because there are days even where you run them both. Certainly it seems like there's a pretty good chance you'll run them both in the same week. Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric. Professional people, professional service. You can inquire. You can schedule your appointment at gopascal.com.
And Brent was talking about Hagen Smith and his Pascal commercial. Hagen gets another victory. Him and Gabe Gackle and Stone Hewitt combined for a game one victory this weekend. Big part of that. And also just Dave Van Horn talking about his timely hitting that we saw in game three. Here's what he said about their game three performance.
A huge game for both teams, really. They were trying to get over 500 in the league. We're trying to win a series on the road. And after losing the first game the way we did, it kind of got away from us early, maybe fifth, sixth inning. And for us to come back and win game two, that was really big for us.
Yeah, I think for Dave Van Horn's squad to to play the way they did in the first game on Saturday and to bounce back in game three. It really started, Chuck, with Brady Tigert, who has been up and down at points this year. I know what his stats say and his ERA says, but he hasn't been as consistent as you thought he may be as the last year in College Sports Draft, but he was every bit as consistent on Saturday as we've seen him all year.
Well, I think the first thing you've got to realize is that, you know, what happened in the first game, sometimes when a game's over and our team doesn't win, we say we lost. Well, sometimes the other team wins, you know, and that's kind of what happened, I thought, in the first game. South Carolina is a good team. They were playing at home. They won that game. As I said a little bit earlier, in the final game of the series, the whole thing with me, now South Carolina helped Arkansas. I mean, they helped them. But Tigert threw strikes, and he didn't get into hitters' counts. And he had a little bit more command of that whatever they call it. I call it a breaking pitch, yeah. A slider. They try to make themselves sound smart and call it four or five different things now. But he had a really good breaking ball going. And he stayed ahead.
It always cracks me up when Phil and Bubba are trying to guess pitches during the middle of a game, and there's, like you said, there's several different ones that are named for a certain pitch that people are kind of all over the place on that. But him and
well, a cutter's a lot different in terms of when I started calling a game, what Mariano Rivera threw was a cutter. What they call a cutter now has a whole lot more break to it. And not as much late break as what Mariano Rivera's pitch did. What a lot of people call a cutter now is what I was raised to call a slider. And a cutter had late break on it. Now, anything that breaks, they call a cutter. So, I mean, I'd be lost, man. I'd be lost with all that terminology now. A lot of times, seriously, it's just guys trying to make themselves sound smarter than they are.
Real quick, one of the other things that happened this weekend is South Carolina coach Mark Kingston got cost, and I thought the play was pretty contrived. Let's go back to game one and what happened late in that one.
1-1 on Holt. Might have hit him. Payne says it hit my jersey. Makes a motion to Mark Winters, hit my jersey, and now he agrees, and here comes Mark Kingston out of the dugout. Kingston's jogging towards Winters, and he's coming out with purpose. He is getting in Winters' face. He's asking, why don't you ask for any help? You can see from here, Mark Winters has just ejected Mark Kingston from the game, and Kingston came out with one thing in mind, and that was to get thrown out. He doesn't have a leg to stand on here. You could hear it. You could hear the pitch hitting Holt's jersey. I don't know what he thinks happened.
And Phil kind of almost told the answer. Was he just trying to get tossed, in your opinion, Chuck? Maybe that was...
No, here's what happened. If you watch the whole thing, you know on Friday night, they were not happy with the balls and strikes call. Mm-hmm. He should have got tossed in the first game. He was not. And neither side, I don't think, frankly, was real happy with some of the balls and strikes. What he was mad about there, though, was the protocol. If you watch the replay, and I'll give him this, it was an obvious call, but the home plate umpire was not demonstrative when he made the call. He was late making the call. Oh. It almost looked like Peyton Holt made the call for him, and he didn't ask for help. And that's what their head coach was mad at. He wasn't, I think he knew it hit him. I think he was mad because the home plate umpire didn't initially realize it. And then when he did, he just said hit by pitch without asking for any help. That was my take. Now, yeah, he obviously hit him. But I think that some of it went back to Friday night, too. They went home angry after the first game and mad at the umpires after the game on Friday night. And I thought that had something to do with it, too.
So now you get the Florida Gators, and I guess you have the midweek game in North Little Rock tomorrow night. Jack Caglione, who we talked about earlier, had 9 straight games with the home run. That streak was ended this weekend in Nashville, Tennessee. Still tied the all-time record in college baseball that was set back in 2021. But you welcome in the Gators and him this weekend, Chuck.
Well, here's the thing, and I don't know how else to say it but to say it. We get too caught up in home runs and strikeouts. It's about winning the game. Caglione's hit home runs in 9 straight games. How many of those games has Florida won?
They're 8-10.
I'm going to guess less than five.
Less than five.
Yeah, you know, they've been in the midst of a long losing streak. They've been either getting swept or winning one in most of their conference series. It's a team game. Look, Hagan Smith striking out a lot of guys. They're winning because of that.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of those guys he's passing on that list, they didn't play on great teams. So they don't always go hand in hand. Hey, sports fans, don't let plumbing issues throw you off your game. Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric is here to tackle those pesky drain blockages and ensure your water heater is always in MVP form. With Pascal's world-class service, you can count on a winning play every time. Whether it's a quick drain clear or a water heater touchdown, Pascal's got the expertise to keep your home running smoothly. Stay in the game and leave the plumbing to the pros. Schedule your service online anytime at gopascal.com. Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
Arkansas is number one right now in the SEC West in baseball following a series win over the South Carolina Gamecocks this weekend, partially due to Gabe Gackle's efforts on Friday night.
Gackle can end the inning here, looking to strand two. Pitch, he struck him out swinging on a high slider. Gabe Gackle leaves two base runners.
This is a freshman from Aptos, California, who has been really, really good for Arkansas this year. Here's what he said following the game, just where his confidence level is right now.
Yeah, the more experience you get, the more confident you are. And I just think about it as a normal outing and just got to go up there and attack the hitters.
You know, we were talking about him a little bit earlier, Chuck, and I hadn't thought about it this way until you kind of said it. You kind of just expect it nowadays, even if it's a true freshman. The standard has been set for Arkansas baseball, and he's just kind of fallen in that mold of sorts.
Well, you know, expected is a strong word. Now, I don't know that maybe that's the best use of the word, but I do know that, and you know, we talked about this when they were sweeping all these series, is I don't know that we have an appreciation for how difficult it is to do what they've been doing. And when you talk about freshmen coming in, you know, over the course of the history of our program, it has been the exception rather than the rule. To have a freshman come in and really, you know, pitch well. But that rule is changing, and it's changed over the last 5 years or so. And he's one of those guys. So much of it's makeup. Mm-hmm. Look, you look at the guys Arkansas is signing, and you look at the pitchers that the premier programs in our country, many of which are in our league, you look at the pitchers that they are signing, they all have elite stuff. They all get up near 100. They can make that thing dance. You can hear it. You know, when you're sitting behind the plate, nobody else is in the ballpark. You can hear the ball whistle when they, you know, when they come home. But it's where they are from the neck up at that age that really determines whether or not they can help you.
So Arkansas had success in Columbia, South Carolina. The softball team had success in Bogle Park this weekend. Saturday night didn't go according to plan, but they end up winning 8-0 on Sunday. Dave Van Horn, John Calipari, and Big Z in attendance over the weekend. A lot of people got a chance to watch Arkansas beat Alabama. Cordy Dyfel really proud of her team. After the game, here's what she said following the series win against the Alabama Crimson Tide.
It was huge. It was an emotional game last night. It was a frustrating game and a late game. So you went to turn all of that in. It's like I walked in when she was talking about just not getting a lot of sleep. I know I didn't sleep much last night with a quick turnaround and just the feel of the game last night. And so for them to show up ready to go, ready to make a statement, ready to respond, was huge. It was so fun. We should do it all the time.
Do it every time again. First time, Chuck, in program history that they've beaten Alabama back-to-back times in a series and got it done in Bogle Park this weekend.
Yeah, it was a nice win in the finale. And, you know, it's tough sometimes when it's a quick turnaround. I think sometimes it's tougher on the road team in that situation than the home team because not only do you have a quick turnaround to get to the ballpark, you got to pack up. And generally when you leave for the ballpark the next morning, you're not coming back to the hotel. So, I mean, you've had to go back and pack up after the game or get up earlier and do it before the game. So I think that does help the home team. I've always thought that. You know, you talk about, I mean, we focus on how tough the baseball is and the football and the basketball. I mean, they beat Alabama, 15th ranked team in the country. What's Arkansas? 14, I think, right now. And your reward is you get to go to 7th ranked LSU next week.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the beat goes on.
It is pretty brutal in SEC softball, like you're saying. All right, other news in your Hog update this morning. Do want to mention some Razorbacks that are making waves in the NBA. Bobby Portis had a fantastic game. 7 of 15, 15 points, 11 rebounds and assists for the Bucks. Patrick Beverley filled up the stat sheet with 5 points, 7 rebounds, 8 assists and 2 steals. And then a lot of you may have been sleeping or may have missed the finale, but Jalen Williams filled up the stat sheet too. He goes 2 of 4 from 3, 2 rebounds and 2 assists, and then Isaiah Joe in 15 minutes had 2 rebounds and assists and 1 3-pointer. Loud City was needed last night to get that 2-point victory, Chuck.
You know, that place was nuts. I watched it on television. I made it until about the end of the third quarter, and that was as far as I could go. But I know people here in Fayetteville that went to the game. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Oklahoma City Thunder, they're very popular, particularly right around Oklahoma City. I mean, there's huge. You probably see more Oklahoma City Thunder T-shirts than you do Oklahoma Sooner basketball T-shirts, to be honest. But that team's really fun to watch. I hope they're physical enough to make it through the playoffs. They're the one seed, and I don't think anybody had them as a one seed out of the West when the season started. I mean, they've got a lot of really good young players, and I mean a lot. They go 10 or 11 deep, and I mean meaningful 10 or 11. You know, Jalen had 6 points in 7 minutes, but I mean, it's not like it was 7 minutes in the second half when, you know, you're five of them in the fourth quarter. I mean, he's coming in meaningful minutes, and so is Isaiah. They really utilize their bench, and they're fun to watch. They get up and down the floor, and SGA's playing as well as anybody can play right now. I hope Holmgren can keep the other team's bigs off the boards. They struggled to do that last night. They only won by 2. But our guys are doing well.
Zion's got a little more beef than Chet does down low.
Yeah, well, Zion didn't even play. It wasn't Zion last night. It was that big guy with a beard. I can't think of his name.
Is it Valanciunas?
No, he was – he's a space eater in there, and he got a lot of offensive boards. That's what kept New Orleans in it. Oklahoma City's far superior athletically, I think. Far superior in terms of skill, but second chance points kept New Orleans in it.
We've talked about Cal players, and not just Arkansas players that are part, but you think about SGA, who mentioned Cason Wallace is another Kentucky guy, Devin Booker. I mean, there are just numerous, Carl Anthony Towns, numerous former Cal players.
AD
that are having an impact in the end. By the way, Lakers, they need to move on from LeBron. I know that we don't have a lot of time to get there, but they need to move on from LeBron James. It has not been as successful as I think many of their fans, organization, thought it would be teaming up with LeBron James.
Hi, everybody. This is Chris George from Joshua's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Russellville. It's the most wonderful time of the year. Christmas gifts, weddings, heirloom family treasures. And at Joshua's Fine Jewelry, we only have one sale every year, and it's right now. Every single item in our store is value priced for Christmas. We do custom one-of-a-kind jewelry. If that's what you're looking for, come see us. You can get anything fixed for a Christmas gift. Selection, quality, service, and Christmas red tag prices now through Christmas at Joshua's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Russellville.
Have you tried Benville Brewing's new Space Goose Hazy India Pale Ale? It's handcrafted in Arkansas. You'll taste the great tropical citrus, including the passion fruit, the guava, and pineapple. It's creamy, zingy, and zows the taste buds. It's weird, wonderful, and wacky all at the same time. Try the new Space Goose Hazy India Pale Ale from Benville Brewing.
Chuck, I don't know if it's a guarantee that we see an Arkansas Razorback drafted this week. I think if, as a Packers guy, if I had to have my pick, I think they're probably going to hold on to Anders Carlson, so Cam Little's probably not an option. But I wouldn't mind seeing Dwight McLaughlin in green and yellow this upcoming season.
Well, you know, that wouldn't be bad. I think if you're a Packer fan, you always like having, guys you like on the team. You know, I think there are going to be guys that get chances through free agent routes. I think there are going to be some that don't get drafted that get a look or two. It's such a crapshoot, you know, just overall with the NFL draft. You were talking about the quarterbacks a little earlier, and, you know, I was looking at the mock draft, or the latest one that I saw anyway, and four of the top five projected picks are quarterbacks. And so that tells you you've got four franchises that are, you know, looking for a franchise quarterback, looking for the next face of their team, looking for somebody who can do for them what Patrick Mahomes has done for Kansas City or what other quarterbacks over the years have done for their teams. I don't know if there's one of those guys in that group, but every year there's an NFL team willing to draft somebody that plays quarterback way up high, give them a lot of upfront money, because, you know, if you catch one that can change the face of your team, then that's great for everybody.
Here's my hot take this morning. I think Jaden Daniels is the only quarterback worth drafting high. I'm not a Caleb Williams believer. I know he's got some attributes as Patrick Mahomes does that people cling to. Never thought anything high of Drake May. I think Jay McCarthy's rising makes no sense to me. Bo Nix couldn't cut in the SEC. What makes you think he can cut in the National Football League? I like Michael Penix. I just think he's a little too frail and fragile. He's had injuries throughout his career. Rattler has apparently wooed some people lately. I just don't know if I see him projecting the highest. Daniels is the only guy I think that's surefire in this week, Chuck.
I don't think any of them are surefire. And I think a lot of it depends on where you go, which team ends up drafting you, and how you handle it when you're not as good right off the bat as everybody thinks you ought to be, because that's inevitable. I think about Baker Mayfield, you know, just from right over there at Oklahoma. You know, Baker was written off. I mean, he was a bust. You know, a wasted draft pick. Well, he's developed into a very good NFL quarterback. He's 28 years old. We expected him to come in and be Tom Brady when he was 22. Tom Brady was not all that hot when he first came into the league. Troy Aikman went 1-15 in his rookie season. We're asking these guys, and it's because of the guaranteed money. We're asking these guys to come in and, you know, be great right out of the chute, and it's impossible. It's like asking a freshman quarterback in the SEC to come in and win you a championship. Man, those guys are generational when they can do that. And the expectations placed on quarterbacks out of the gate are just wildly unrealistic now. So my answer to that in terms of which one of them makes it, the one that's got the most staying power, because none of them's going to be a star right out of the gate.
So if you were the Chicago Bears general manager, Chuck, would you go with Daniels, who we got a chance to see, not just in person, but I watched him several times this year, or Caleb Williams? If those were your two options, who would – I'm going Daniels, and I don't think twice about it, but people sure seem high on Caleb Williams and what he could bring to the table with some of the throws he's made.
Well, I mean, the Bears' issues go way beyond quarterback. Yeah. I mean, if drafting a quarterback was the answer, I mean, the Bears would be back in the 80s, man. I mean, they'd be dominant. They've drafted a bunch of them. They rolled the dice on some guys, and they've not stuck with any of them.
Mm-mm.
Nope. They give up on them too quickly. That's what losing franchises do. You're not winning. You need a guy to come in and change things right away. There are very few of those guys out there. There just aren't many of them out there. And, I mean, you got future Hall of Famers, again, who've not been very good at all right out of the gate. And we expect somebody like, you know, Daniels or Drake May or one of these other guys to come in and be an all-pro right away. I do know one thing. There's a lot of defensive ends ready to catch Caleb Williams' blindside.
Yep.
He's going to get a helmet right in the small of his back. They already don't like that guy.
I can't wait. This is a text from Cajun on the McCarty Daniel hotline. The seven round mock draft that he keeps seeing Bo Limmer and Dwight MacArthur going in the fifth round, Cam Little and Brady Latham going in the second round. Tyler Greenwood saying the NFL does a terrible job at evaluating quarterbacks. Tyler, I think so too. It's just hard, I feel like, to encompass everything you have to in terms of scouting and film.
You know, I know. And look, playing quarterback is different in the NFL than it is in college. It just is. Mm-hmm. It's a lot easier to make something out of nothing in college football as opposed to the National Football League. If you're going to have a quarterback that, you know, in college you want a guy that can run so the defense has to account for you numbers-wise. In the NFL, the shelf life on those guys is 2 or 3 years, and they're always hurt, and there's always an issue physically. If you're not built like Lamar, if you're not built like a Mack truck, your life as an NFL quarterback playing that style of football is not going to be very long. That's one of the reasons I think it's so difficult for them to evaluate college quarterbacks and what's going to translate into the NFL.
Yeah, and you just never know about injuries and if there's the injury history or something that you maybe figure out.
Well, what do they do when you have to stay in the pocket? When you have to stay back there? When you can't take off running because there's an outside linebacker that's as fast as you are?
If not faster.
He's been in the league, and he's a grown man. He's 27. He's been in the league. He knows every move you're going to make.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's just a different position and a different game.
Cody from Lavaca chimes in on the McCarty Dana Hotline saying this draft is getting more and more hype for the QB position, and he doesn't even think it's that talented this year. I'm with you 100%, Cody. Now, Titus chimes into what your point, Chuck. He says, I'm built like a Chrysler K car. That's how he –
Well, you know.
That's
the deal. I mean, you're going to get hit by a guy that's bigger than you and just as fast.
Cody says that adding to your list, you were talking about some Hall of Famers that had terrible starts. Peyton Manning went 3-13 and threw two more interceptions and touchdown in his year. And there's a certain level of impatience that we've seen grow more and more because you do see, it's unfortunate, but you do see guys like Patrick Mahomes who has instant success, and he's better now than he was like 7 years ago, but what he's been able to accomplish, or even Joe Burrow, who I know tore his ACL his first year, but we saw what kind of quarterback he could be from the jump.
Let's be honest. Anybody who watched Arkansas play Texas Tech those 2 years, how many of you drove away that night thinking, man, that Mahomes kid, he's going to be in the Hall of Fame? Nobody said that. You just don't know. And a lot of it does, you know, who's got staying power? Who can handle everything that's going to come their way? And I don't just mean from a football sense. And look, Patrick Mahomes, I think the best thing that happened to Patrick Mahomes was he got to play in Kansas City. He didn't have to play in New York or L.A. or Chicago. He got to play in Kansas City. Pretty forgiving crowd. And that was a big benefit to him. Some of these guys are going to go into markets where they're just going to get eaten alive. And because they're kids, you know, we think of them as full-fledged grown-ups, and they're not. Some of them just get swallowed up.
Yeah, it's a little more difficult than the college media that they were having to deal with. So I mentioned it's in Detroit this year. It's been in Kansas City, Nashville recently. I think the NFL draft is one of the more underappreciated events. It's something I'd like to go to maybe closer. Detroit's a little far for me, but do you have any desire? Like, I want to go. Have you been to a draft before, Chuck? My dad has.
No, you know, I was not raised on the draft. Your generation was raised on the draft. There was not a big... you know, when ESPN was still fledgling ESPN, I mean, they did some stuff, but not like they do now. I mean, back then you had Mel Kiper, and that was about it. You know, now you've got everybody. I mean, you know, they got NFL shows all day long on these channels, and you got to have programming. So that's one of the things, too, that's made the draft a big deal is they need programming, and if you're going to put it on TV, you got to turn it into a show.
On the subject of the NFL, college football had some rules that came down this weekend, and the more and more that we discuss and watch college football, I think the lines are blurred between college football and professional. Chuck, 2-minute warning, helmets in the radio, tablets, agents have come about these last few years. I mean, it used to be you knew exactly what you were talking about when you were discussing one sport versus another. It was easy to pick up on in the middle of a conversation. But now it's they're as similar as they've ever been. And personally, I don't know if that's good for college football. I felt like that college football, the distinctions and the differences between NFL made it what it is. And now that we're shifting to more of a professional type of sport, I just don't know if that's good for the long-term future of the sport, and that sectioned off when it comes to the differences between college and NFL.
Well, I mean, that's a broad subject. There are certain things about college football that definitely have the professional feel now.
Yeah.
Organizationally, it's becoming a little bit more than that. But just, you know, in terms of the draft and the position of quarterback, like we were talking about, there's still just a vast difference. And look, there's a vast difference in the quality of play in even the highest levels of college football and the NFL. These people that say, well, a great college team could, you know, finish above last place in the pros. I mean, that's silly.
Yeah.
The best Alabama football team would have been a last place team in the NFL. That's just the reality of the situation. And there is a huge difference between the two levels. Now, I will say this. I was talking to Matt Jones about this the other day, and I hadn't really thought about this, about how some of these quarterbacks, and not just quarterbacks, but maybe some of your other skill guys, they're going to stay in college longer. He cited Bo Nix as an example. You know, Bo Nix ended up staying in college because he was guaranteed money, you know, and some of these guys will stay an extra year, maybe two, because of the guaranteed aspect to NIL money. You know, a guy like Bo Nix, had he come out, you know, before he went to Oregon, if he just come out, he probably wouldn't be playing football right now. That would be my guess. Or if he was, he'd just be hanging on. But instead, he goes out there and cashes in on some money and, you know, it becomes a hotter name. And he's the example we talked about that day. I'm sure there are others if you really look at it more closely. There may be a dividend in terms of the quality of play as a result of NIL. I don't know that we know yet. We're not far enough into it. But I thought that was an interesting point. And it's not something, quite honestly, that I thought about before.
And I would, to that, and it's not just affecting football in terms of maybe keeping players around more, but for basketball, like I think we've seen some real quality college basketball these last couple years. So I would agree, because I was obviously doing that with you and Matt, because I thought that was probably the biggest takeaway from y'all's conversation last week. By the way, Chuck's podcast is going to be out later on this morning. And if you want to tune in for that, hitthatline.com, search Hit That Line for wherever you listen to podcasts. But I, like you, had never thought about that from that angle, and Matt presented that different one. So,
well, and look, it varies from individual to individual.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, you think about just people in your everyday life. You know, some people start making a lot of money and they quit. Other people start making a lot of money and they want to earn every dime. You know, so it varies, but I just thought that was an interesting take.
This podcast has been presented by Bet Online.
This podcast is an exclusive property of Pearson Broadcasting. It may not be copied, reproduced, modified, published, uploaded, reposted, transmitted, or distributed in any way without Pearson Broadcasting's prior written consent. Subscribe to the Hit That Line Podcast Network, the best podcast in the Natty State. Just search Hit That Line wherever you listen to podcasts.
Feel the pulse of the city. Feel the beat of the drum. Feel the bass blow your hair. In Las Vegas, live music delivers much more than sound. It's where music comes alive. With artists like Megan Thee Stallion, Maroon 5, Carrie Underwood, Shania Twain, Babyface, Lionel Richie, and many more. Every show is a playground for your senses. See the full summer lineup at visitlasvegas.com.
Listen up, people. Over the years, I've learned how important hydration is in my workouts and everyday life. It's the key to helping my body move, recover, and just have a good time when I'm exercising and staying active. Things go even better when I'm well hydrated before I even start moving. Noon Hydration doesn't want you to wait to hydrate. They want you to start hydrated. Noon Sport Hydration Tablets hydrate better than water alone. Just drop them in your water, dissolve, and enjoy. They contain 5 essential electrolytes and come in crisp and refreshing flavors like strawberry lemonade, lemon lime, and many more. They also have non-GMO vegan and gluten-free ingredients and only 1 gram of sugar. Noon hydrates you so you can do more, go further, and recover faster. And that means you can have a heck of a lot more fun. Since hydrated humans have the most fun, head over to shop now on noonlife.com and pick some up today so you're ready for anything. Because anything can happen after noon.
If your small business has a problem, you could say,
"Ugh, just my luck."
But you should say,
"Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there."
And we'll help get you back in business. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
When raising a Pacifico beer with friends you just met turns into hitting up their friend's local art show, getting inspired to create something together, and painting your first mural, you found what was waiting for you. Pacifico. Life's waiting. 21 plus only. Discover responsibly. Pacifico Clara Beer. Imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, Essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.